once more unto the breach, dear friend.
Else close the wall of our English dead.
And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, with another exciting episode of The Personal Wealth Coach, starring Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And the first thing we probably need to tell you is the Personal Wealth Coach is a registered investment advisor, which doesn't mean, well, it means a lot, but it also doesn't mean a lot. And we're registered with an interesting organization in Washington, D.C., called the United States Securities and Exchange Commission. So if you have a complaint, you know, and you want to talk directly to the federal government, you know exactly what office to call. No, I don't know their telephone number, but it's Google it. And we
Googleable.
I tell you, actually, if you call us, we will be glad to give you the SEC's telephone number. We obviously, this guy, Jake over here, who you can tell, I'm wearing a blue plain shirt today. He's wearing a blue plaid shirt today.
The blue plain is Jeff. The blue plaid is Jake.
Yeah, that's how you
can tell us apart.
That's how you can tell us apart on the radio. And we are also here for the next 2 hours, more or less, to...
Less more than more.
Well, you never can tell. It depends on how fast we're going. And it all depends on where you are, too.
It's so, a little relativity getting into this.
It's possible that you could have started, like, on the West Coast listening to us and be on the East Coast by the time we're done, because you can fly across the country in 2 hours, and that would add 4 hours to our radio
and
show.
Now that
that would mean
is,
we would have a six-hour radio show.
Now that there is internet available on many of the airplanes, it may be possible to extend the length of our program.
To 6 hours.
To 6 hours if you're flying in the correct direction.
Well, it depends on whether you call going east correct or incorrect, but in any rate. And we have a couple of telephone numbers that you, well, maybe you can call, but you certainly are available to be called. We're getting very exact in our
statistics. Yes, yes.
And if you're in East Bell County, and obviously 254 area code, then you can call 773-1400. And if you're not, we have a toll-free number.
1-866-597-1400.
Anywhere else within the sound of his voice.
Or your voice.
Except if you're listening on the internet, in which case, you're out of luck.
Well, I mean,
if you're outside of the United States.
Non-digitized voice. So if you listen to my voice and it's digitized.
How do you know if it's digitized? It's got 10 little toes and fingers?
Oh, yeah. How many digits does it have?
Oh, I got it.
It's pretty simple.
Actually, lots of them, like... billions.
And logs don't have digits, generally.
So it'd be like megabits.
So when you change analog
logs don't
into
have...
digits, you get a better format because you've got more fingers and toes.
Analog
to digital.
Logs don't have digits. Yeah, there's an awful lot of truth in that. I thought about that. Yeah. Now that
you go.
It depends on what kind of log you're talking about.
We're talking about algorithms later.
Yeah, well, ship's logs.
Ship's logs.
Can have digits.
They do have digits. You're right.
But tree logs don't.
Logarithms have digits.
Right.
But analogs don't.
But logarithms are associated with algorithms.
No. Any hope that we had for listenership has just dwindled into nothing.
Well, good. If nobody's listening, then we can say whatever we want to say. And and no one's going to get offended.
We do that anyway.
But people do get offended.
Yeah, that's
true.
Know,
and
that's
determine
true.
That we're not funny.
We already knew that.
Insane is the proper term, not funny. So, what happened during the week?
Let's see. I believe we had a series of days, and in those days, we had ours.
Okay. Ours and yours?
Yours and mine.
Okay. Anything else?
I'm sure there's some things that filled up that time intervening we could talk about.
There was some slipperiness in New York.
What, the Dow slid?
Yeah,
slid?
The Dow, because the headline
they
in,
should
in
really,
Barron's was...
They should put up wet floor signs. That's,
right, Dow slides 2.4% on week, which would suggest to me that the winter isn't over up there. They've got ice or something.
We just also mentioned that a week happened.
And it was a week
and
as opposed
slid
to
on
a
the week.
Strong. Right.
Slippery week.
Right.
Watch and, where you slip.
And the Barron's headline was Dow slides 2.4% on week, semicolon, blame it on Putin.
Well, he's going to blame it on us.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's, you know, basically he said, Did you understand that? When he was having his press conference, where he was explaining what he was doing and what he wasn't doing, he was talking about the sovereignty of Ukraine and it was totally inappropriate to violate the sovereignty of.
Yeah.
I mean, he was contradicting himself about
left
every
and
other
right.
sentence, which meant I think I know what the real secret is here.
What's that?
He's going to run for Congress.
Ah, that could be. I hear, and this fascinates me. As long as you give press conferences, it doesn't matter how contradictory you are, it calms everybody down.
It didn't work real well.
Didn't work so well for him after a while. After you have enough armies marching around, it's really hard to calm people down by saying a press conference, well, we have no intention of putting military on the ground where our military is.
And that and $100 billion disappeared from the Federal Reserve.
Well, no. $100 billion disappeared from the...
I'm just making a nice headline.
Yeah, I mean, that is a great... Those are headlines that would be...
It's true.
Okay, here's what actually happened.
$100 billion of Russia, $104
billion. $104 billion of debt that was owned, U.S. government debt that was owned by Russia, probably.
And held by the Federal Reserve of the United States.
Right. Was lessened. So when
it went away.
When the Federal Reserve did its accounting and said, these are the countries, this is the amount of debt of the U.S. government that is owned by foreign countries.
That we hold in our reserve,
just so that people know that it's there.
Right.
It dropped by $104 billion.
And
they just happened to have about $139 billion of our debt.
Putin claimed $200 billion.
Well, the last accounting that they had was
$139 billion. Putin always tells the truth.
Obviously.
Because, I mean, it was reported in Pravda, which means truth.
Oh, it's even called that.
That's it. So, I mean, It was clearly truth.
It was clearly Pravda.
That they had $200 billion and they were thinking about liquidating. By the way, Putin called upon, if there's any sanctions against Russia, which I think there will be.
Yeah.
He called upon the world to immediately get rid of its dollars. And convert them into something else.
All right. Can I give you, I mentioned I had some precursors here.
I think it's rubles that he wants, because the ruble dropped by like 40% in the last week or so.
Yeah, and they're saying, liquidate your dollars and buy rubles. Wait a minute. Wait.
And there's no conflict of interest in
no,
his investment
not,
advice.
None at all.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
All right. I'm going to give some precursors.
He's got precursors.
These are better than the cursors on your computer screen because they happened before that.
Now, a precursor is always painful.
Yes. That's when you stub your toe, that's the precursor to the cursing comes later.
The cursor comes after that.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
That's not what I say.
No. You say other things that are unrepeatable on the radio.
I do not.
Well, I wouldn't be able to repeat them.
Okay.
They have too many consonants in there.
Okay.
All right.
Give us the precursors.
We're going to go back in time.
Is there post-precursors?
Can somebody play a harp or something while I do going back in time?
I can play bagpipes.
Last week, we talked a little bit about... There we go. There's some bagpipes. That's pretty close. liquid natural gas and our exports going to... And we had this little conversation about... how there are 24 licenses currently waiting, and there have been four that have been approved over the last several years, but it takes a long time to get ramped up to do that. Those licenses, which we mentioned last week, have to be applied for in a very bureaucratic process for any country that does not have a free trade agreement with the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so hold that in mind for just a moment. So we got all this stuff, this bureaucratic...
Right.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I was once heard there was no such thing as a free trade.
Right. I want free trades.
Yes.
Okay. So now let's take a step back a moment and say, who does the United States have free trade agreements with? Well, we've got NAFTA, so Canada and Mexico. We got that taken care of. There's parts of South America we have a free trade agreement with, that relatively new stuff. Have you heard the word TTIP?
No, but I won't even touch that one, okay.
Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership.
Ooh.
at the beginning of 2005, it is slated to occur. This is something that's been happening.
2005?
Or 2015. It was off by
a
decade.
Yeah,
we put a little digit.
That's
talking
why
of digitals,
the time travel
right,
music.
I didn't come forward in time
right,
enough.
Right,
that's,
okay,
sorry about
it.
That. I got lost in
2015.
At least I didn't bring any dinosaurs with me.
2015, the Tea Party gets a tip.
No. The Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership is a free trade agreement with the European Union.
Hmm.
And with all the NATO members, for that matter, except Turkey's not going to be signing quite up in time. So what that means, this is stuff that Putin is very aware of. Ukraine is
now
talking...
You're using economic terms again.
Yeah, Putin or
stuff.
Aware? Stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, Putin, aware, and stuff, all economic terms.
Right.
The Ukraine is moving to be a member of the European Union.
Only it's technically not the Ukraine anymore, it's just... Ukraine.
Right. It's just Ukraine and European Union instead of the European Union.
Yes.
But we are still the United States.
Got it.
Right. Those little articles at the beginning of sentences, I don't know. It's not the Crimea. It's Crimea.
Right.
Well, why? Because we dropped that. It was like the Facebook. It's now just Facebook.com.
Right.
It sounds better. Better marketing.
Got it. I don't
right.
know.
Ukraine has better marketing. The has been dropped.
I don't know why we have definite articles. Or don't.
Okay. So Ukraine is moving to be part of European Union. That just sounds funny.
Yeah, but you said it in English.
I did. The European Union and Ukraine, I'm just throwing them back in there just to confuse the issue. Is it Burma? Wait, what are you talking about?
You know, the reason is we don't say the England.
Right, the England.
Or the France.
But we do say the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
But it is just simply called United Kingdom.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
There's no logic to it.
Doesn't make sense. All right. As this free trade agreement moves forward, what that means is that there is not a bureaucratic process on the export of liquid natural gas. Okay, so just hold that in your mind for a second.
Right.
Russia goes to Ukraine, Putin says to the former president of Ukraine, and says, hey,
Gunovich,
we are going to give you a bunch of money that you'll have to pay back to us. But we're going to give you a bunch of money if you come and join my free trade zone, which just happens to have the thriving economies of Uzbekistan and Belarus. No, not Belarus. Yeah, no. Belarus.
Belarus.
And
Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan. These thriving economies
right.
will boost you into the 21st or 20th century or maybe right. the 19th century. We will boost you into the 19th century. So Russia...
And maybe 20th if we have a good year.
Russia is afraid. Putin is afraid, more specifically. Putin is afraid that the Russia that he grew up in, which was the Soviet Union... This is a little anecdote about Putin. He was in East Germany when the East Germans got their referendum.
Mm-hmm. When the wall fell.
When the wall fell. He was busy burning and shredding documents,
mm-hmm.
and he stood off a crowd with a pistol.
Yes.
He was shocked, and he was quoted at the time. He was a diplomatic, higher-level diplomat at the time.
And from the KGB.
From the KGB. Quoted at the time about the shock of having his country that he believed so strongly in, that Mother Russia had sponsored, had fallen. It was no more. So this is the guy that's in charge over there. He is the guy that...
Are you trying to say he had a traumatic event?
Could be. And he's a very prideful guy. Anybody that's ever worked with him says this. So he is...
And he likes to run around without a shirt on.
Yes, that's part of the pride.
Right.
Like, look at how great I am. I am the reincarnation of the Bear of Russia. Except that he's very short. So
it's a short bear.
It's a very short bear. It's a,
right.
it's a little brown bear. Maybe a black bear. But,
I wouldn't... you need to be careful
right.
about that.
Okay. So he's looking at... The fact that the price of natural gas, which is one-third of the revenue of the government, or it's actually closer to half of the revenue of the government, it's one-third of the trade that takes place inside and outside of Russia, one-third of the, or one-half of the revenue to the government
mm-hmm.
is from gas. The price of gas has dropped drastically without the United States increasing its exports.
Mm-hmm.
We've got new technology that's come up. We talk about how Russia has improved its military. It's done these great things. The way it's done it is from gas. It's pumping gas into the European Union, into Ukraine. Ukraine is
saying... I've tried that.
Right. It's very hard. You've got to have the right gas lines.
Beans will do it every time.
Well, yeah, you've got the right gas lines
right
there. Ukraine joining the European Union is the vast majority of the money that the Russians are using for their army. If they join the European Union and those pipelines stop being used so much and the price of natural gas keeps falling, if the European Union enters into a free trade agreement with the United States, it seals the doom on the newly resurgent Russia.
Mm-hmm.
He's very aware of this. It's like you have three sources of income. If somebody threatens one of those sources of income, you get nervous.
And did you hear what the United States, they said it had absolutely nothing to do with the invasion of Crimea, but did you hear what we announced this week that we were doing?
Oh, what's that?
We're doing a release from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve.
Oh, that's really nice.
So it was just to test the system to make sure that we could, you know, put oil onto the market and lower the price of oil.
Interesting.
And it was on the same, it was immediately following the Russians' announcement that they were going to be holding purely pre-scheduled, that they hadn't told us about, training maneuvers on the border of Ukraine where Russia meets Ukraine.
Right. And
with lots of divisions of I started to say Soviet, Russian
Russia.
Army. Right.
Yeah.
They're just going to, and it's going to happen tomorrow, which is like tonight, our time.
Right.
During the referendum, there will be several Soviet, not Soviet, huh?
We keep saying that.
Yeah, but they're the same numbers as they were when it was the Soviet Union. There,
right.
There will be several Russian guards, army divisions, conducting peaceful, previously scheduled maneuvers on the border of Ukraine during the referendum. Probably, the comment, now this is not from the Russians, the comment is that the pundits on our side are saying that's just in case there is civil unrest following
the referendum.
You know, if the hooligans and the Nazis and the fascists object to the referendum.
I spent some time this morning and yesterday going over what is happening on the news in Russia, and
patriotic music. And
yeah, absolutely. Not only patriotic music, but there's black and white footage of the Nazis,
right?
With nasty, dreadful sounding music being played. They're showing scenes of absolute turmoil in Ukraine. People dying left and right. Well, we've got people on the ground there. The media is covering that. I'm not a big fan of the media usually, but they are actually wandering around filming it. And there have been a couple of people dead. I think there's three people dead over the past week in
heart attacks and
people getting beat up by Russians.
No. Those are Crimean self-defense forces.
Right. And
they did not exist until very recently, but they've trained very quickly.
This is one of those areas where...
And they have brand new uniforms, and yes, you can see where certain insignia has been painted off of the trucks.
Right. It's very easy...
And tanks.
For us here in the United States to get upset at our government. Very easy. I mean, the NSA leaking came out. Everybody's like, oh, they know about my emails. They know about what are they doing? What are they doing?
Which I think, by the way, still is a tempest in a teapot.
As if
Verizon didn't know everything I did
right
in Comcast. There,
not only that, there's this massive elephant in the room. Did you see it on the way in? It's huge. We ignore the elephant.
There's an elephant in the room.
Right. The elephant...
Are you talking about the Republicans again?
I'm talking about the IRS.
Oh.
The IRS knows how much money you make.
Are you saying that the IRS is a Republican?
No. I'm saying that it's an elephant,
well,
but not irrelevantly elephant.
The elephant is the symbol of the Republican
correct
Party.
Yeah. They.
And if you say the IRS is an elephant...
It is a big... Maybe it's a gorilla. Maybe it's an invisible gorilla.
Now, there we go. The 800-pound gorilla, right.
The reality is the United States government knows so much about us already that the metadata on our cell phones is tiny, and we're not upset about that. Not that I think that we shouldn't be upset. I think that there are a lot of things that we can do in our tax code that would not allow the government to know so much about us. There's a lot of things that we could do. Mm-hmm. But we're completely disregarding that. The reason why I brought up all of this is because this is kind of how we can tell that the government is not feeding us too much false information. Because imagine for a moment a newspaper reporting that Putin may be spying on the Russians. Now imagine the obituary in the same newspaper the following day.
For the writer that said that.
Oh, and he died of natural causes after falling on a knife 47 times.
Not to mention the fact that he was jumping through the air, catching bullets.
Exactly. So
he lost his head.
As rough as we have it over here, we have it pretty darn good compared to what happens in Russia. Our government is it's the worst government in the world except for all those other ones out there. And that puts us in a pretty good situation. Anyway, that the precursors there were there's a free trade agreement that is going forward. It is well on track. The reason why I mentioned Turkey is because Turkey's not a member of the European Union, but it has a free trade agreement with the European Union. And if we have a free trade agreement with the European Union before we have a free trade agreement with Turkey, then we have the ability to buy Turkey's goods in the European Union without tariff. They have the ability to buy our goods in the European Union without tariff, just not in the United States or in Turkey. So we're working quickly to see if we can...
Has anyone ever told you you're a geek?
I'm very much a geek.
Okay, just trying to check that.
I've been known to be such.
You are, by the way, listening to an extensive dial monologue. Mono dialogue?
A pair of monologues.
Yes. Yes, something like that. On the this is the Personal Wealth Coach.
Is it an analog monologue?
I think you've been listening to an analog, right? And or an ideologue. I don't know. Sure
it could
which.
Be all of those.
We're talking about logs again here, and logs don't have digits. Except these logs do have digits, so we're gradually coming to the conclusion that a majority of logs do have digits.
We've proved it logically.
Logarithmically, even. And the telephone numbers, if you'd like to call in here and ask us any questions about something to do with the economy or investing or things of that ilk, 773-1400 is the number in East Bell County. Otherwise,
1-866-597-1400. And all of that was to say there's a lot of weird stuff happening in Eastern Europe that has an impact on our markets. But what's the long term?
Well, long term, I think it's interesting. We need to play some commercials, but let's talk about that on the other side. I read some very interesting analysis about the apparent parallels between what's happening now and what happened prior to World Wars I and II. But I also read some really fundamental differences. So we'll get back to those on the other side of these critical words from KTEM sponsors. And Lord willing, we'll be back. And we're back of more of the Personal Wealth Coach reversing time back to 2005 and occasionally bumping it forward to 2015. And sometimes we think we're in 1914 because it's really interesting because exactly 100 years ago that World War I officially started. And it's possible that 100 years from now, the historians will be noting that World War I version 2. What would we call
it? Are we going to continue to give it more numbers, or are we going to call it Universe War One? We got a Miss America, and we got a Miss World, and now we have a Miss Universe.
You know, would they call it? Will they call it World War III? Because World War III is kind of, you know, assumes nuclear weapons exchange. And if we didn't, you know, if we just had this war in Europe,
the third in the trilogy has to be the best. Otherwise, it's just a dud.
Well, it's a trilogy, but Well, that's not always true. I mean, the last Star Wars episodes weren't as good as the first ones.
Well, but they were pre the first ones.
Yeah, but they were later in time, even though they were earlier in time.
Right.
Right. Gotcha.
Relativity again.
Jake has had a fellow in his office the other day, and we were talking about the fact that, what was it, tomorrow on the moon?
Well,
or yesterday.
After 7 o'clock,
right.
It's tomorrow on the moon.
So you can
before
actually
daylight savings,
so you can actually
6
see
o'clock.
Tomorrow by looking at the moon after what time?
After 7 o'clock,
is
p.m.
Is that a.m., p.m.?
P.m.
Okay, so if you're looking at the moon after 7 p.m., you're actually seeing a day into the future.
It's universal standard, which is Greenwich mean. So that's
let's not be saying bad things about Greenwich.
That's right now. That's 5 hours in the past. So that's already happened. But according to their clocks, it's in the future. So
you're confusing me.
Yeah. Well, if you realize that if it's already in the past there, what we're doing right now already happened
like
there. So that means they're in the future now.
And it's an hour in the future right now on the East Coast of
right.
the United States.
But they've already had but this hour in the past.
But it's 5 hours in the future in England.
Right, and on the moon.
And on the moon.
And sometimes we can see tomorrow on the moon because at midnight in Greenwich, it is tomorrow in Great Britain as well as tomorrow on the moon.
But we can't see Great Britain.
No, but we can see the moon. So when you look at the sky in the evening and you see the moon,
after 7 p.m.,
you're looking at tomorrow.
Okay. I just
I mean that the calendar says it clearly that
you can
look up there. The moon is in tomorrow.
That's good. I like that.
stretch your brain a little. This is a difficult conversation. We can do this.
My brain
stretched out and
properly
is
stretched. I did. We did. I had a client in Australia for a while, and since normally during the workday here, it's already tomorrow there
because right.
it's across the date line. I would always want to ask her, and I did. I asked her what the stock market closed at today, and she would never tell me.
Right. Well, I mean, we know that today is not the end of the world because
it's already tomorrow over there.
Tomorrow over there. Right. Yeah. We wouldn't know that by looking at the moon because the moon's not really part of the world.
Well, if the world ended, the moon would no longer be in orbit and it would behave oddly. From our perspective, it would seem to go away. It would start receding away from the Earth because the Earth was no longer here.
That's true, but that at least would warn us that something bad had happened.
So the issue is if after 7 p.m. on any given evening you see the moon begin to recede away from the Earth, you know the end of the world is upon us.
Right. Get ready because in 5 hours, unless it's daylight, it's not daylight savings time, and then 6 hours, the end of the world is coming.
Right. And you can always find out for sure by trying to call Australia.
Right.
Got it.
We've solved all these issues.
And
just think, if they'd had a red phone on Kennedy's desks and on the Cuban Missile Crisis, and he'd just been calling Australia every day, he would have calmed himself down tremendously.
Right.
It wouldn't have been this big thing. He's like, oh, I know the Russians aren't going to launch. It's already tomorrow in Australia.
The only problem was it was already tomorrow in Russia.
Oh, that's true. Whoops.
So
that didn't help at all.
Now, this is interesting. They can launch missiles tomorrow and hit us today.
Oh, man. They have this special time warp engine on their missiles
No, actually, the British did it when they put a date line down the middle of the Pacific.
There you go. The British, the Doctor Who is the Time Lord.
All the problems in the Middle East can be traced back to the fact that some British... folks, cartographers and politicians got together in London, and they drew borders on the maps.
I mean, you thought we were going off into left field by talking about the moon here, but no, the reality is that most of the problems that have happened today.
For example, had they drawn a circle around the Pashtuns,
right, we wouldn't have all this problem.
The Pashtuns would be perfectly happy to fight each other,
right, as we've discovered in Pakistan,
right,
yeah,
and just. They'll just be very happy fighting each other, and we'd put a border up, and nobody would go in, and nobody would come out, and the Pashtuns would be very happy.
As soon as we say, you guys are all inside this line, they go, oh, then we have to fight everybody on the other side of that line.
Because we want to, you know, put the Kurds put the Kurds together, which has a lot to do with milk, put the Pashtuns together.
No way, though.
No?
No way. You can't have Kurds and whey, so no way. No way.
you have Kurds and whey. Milk turns in when it is, you know, when you sours.
Uh-huh.
And you make buttermilk.
No,
it,
no way.
There's two things
no
you
way,
have
dude.
There. You have whey and curds.
No way, dude.
Oh. You are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach Be Insane on the radio.
Yes.
Let's see. Russian companies withdraw billions from the West, says Moscow bankers.
Well, it's reversed, actually.
Really? No, the Russian, I mean, talking about the regular companies, the banks and companies that have deposits in the United States, Britain, and so on, and they have some very large ones,
right,
are busy withdrawing many billions of dollars from the West because they're anticipating sanctions.
Right. Well, the same thing's going on in the reverse direction, only there's more billions of dollars being invested in Russia than Russia is investing in the rest of the world.
Well, yeah. So that's sort of the other thing that was sort of interesting that happened this week, which has actually very little to do with Ukraine.
Yeah, we're going to talk about long-term impact of that in just a minute.
There's a survey done every 6 months to determine where the center of mass of financial activity is in the world. And the four major financial centers in the world are Hong Kong, Singapore, New York, and London. And London has historically always come in as number one. And New York has come in as number two. And then Hong Kong and Singapore closing ground from the rear. Well,
right. It
reversed in this survey. The number one financial center on the planet is now in the United States for the first time since they've been measuring this stuff. And just thought I'd throw that in there, that a little piece of good news.
Right.
The other thing that's fascinating, there was a couple of studies that I read. One was, why the heck, in the middle of the financial crisis and recently, have short-term interest rates been so low? Now, you say, well, the Fed did. Well, no, actually, the Fed doesn't have enough power to do that.
Nope.
It turns out the Fed's contributions to low short-term interest rates in the United States Treasuries were relatively minor. Turns out the rest of the world was buying short-term U.S. Treasuries,
yep,
and by the way, still is at an astonishing rate on the open market, because the more unstable the world gets, the more the world wants, and by the way, Russians are buying U.S. treasuries
right,
like there's no tomorrow.
So we're going to throw something else in here. Right in the middle of all of this, the FDIC is suing a bunch of Europe.
A bunch.
This is another technical.
Yeah, right.
This is a fixed number. We use these numbers in economics terms regularly. Stuff and bunch.
Particularly when we're talking about the United Fruit Company.
Right. Bunches of fruit.
Right.
Large number of European banks are being sued by the FDIC.
Really?
Over the fixing of the London Interbank Offer Rate.
The FDIC is suing them?
Because American banks lost money on the fixing, which was... So this is part of the reason why London is taking sort of a backstage. British and European banks are using U.S. government treasuries more often than each other now for their reserves. And I realize that is very geeky, and most people go, what in the world? Why does that matter? Because it's a statement that the banks in the rest of the world recognize that the stability of the United States economy is far more than any other economy, even one that's spread out across Europe. The fact that our banks had the FDIC is something of a massive statement, in that if you look at Europe, there is no single entity that covers Europe as far as insurance on depositors. FDIC is now suing European banks because the European banks failed and caused the FDIC to have to pay money to Americans on the American banks that had deposits overseas.
This is more than I can comprehend.
Yeah. Anyway, that's part of the reason why London has taken a second stage to New York.
The fact that the Bank of England, which supposedly fills the same role in England as the Federal Reserve does in the United States, is a bit of a cronyish institution.
A bit of a crony. Yes, a bit.
And as a result, the fixing of the LIBOR, which is, by the way, what is used to set mortgage rates and a host of other things.
Even here.
Right. Keeping it at an artificially high rate so the banks could make money was damaging to the world economy, and banks in London apparently were doing it wholesale, and apparently it was pretty common knowledge at the Bank of England, and they decided not to do anything about it.
But he's a good old boy.
Well, they basically decided it was making money for banks, and the banks were paying taxes, so obviously it was a good thing.
I'm just thinking about, we have in the South here in the United States, we have the good old boy system. They have the good old chap system.
Gudo.
He's the good old chap.
Waiting for Gudo boy or
something like that.
Another thing that's going on this week that is of geeky interest, for those of you who haven't fallen completely asleep yet.
I'm still awake.
The euro rose to nearly $1.40 per euro.
Per euro? There's $1.40 per... Okay, right.
Dollar, in other words, every euro... In other words, it's in... For whatever it's worth, it started off originally in equity with the dollar, and it has risen to $1.40. It went down for a period of time. Now it's gone back up again. And you think, doggone it, they must be better than we
are.
They're
stronger euro. Well, that's not what it means.
Factually, the European Central Bank, I think it's Mario Draghi, who is the chairman this year. They have a rotating chairman, which is probably why they're so dizzy.
Yes, they rotate quite often.
Yes, very, very unstable. They're rotating. Is trying to jawbone it down as he has in the past, saying it's too high and we may need to take some action on it. He probably can't, though. The point is that this rising euro is producing, and listen carefully to this one, it is producing deflation in Europe. It is making... As the euro rises, imports, which, by the way, include fuel, they import virtually all of their fuel, almost all of their fuel in Europe, not quite. But for example, they even have to import fuel from Britain, which is on the pound, not the euro. So as the euro rises, fuel becomes more expensive to purchase in the European Union. Let's see if I got that
right. It's backwards.
No, it's the other way. It becomes less expensive. But...
Their exports
become more expensive.
It is hurting
their economy. It is causing them to lose jobs. And as they lose jobs and they get into stay in a recessionary mode, and deflation starts to set in, people tend to hoard money, which tends to cause the price to go up. But this is not
more
the big
people
reason.
Lose their jobs and so on.
This is not the big reason the euro is going up.
Nope.
It's the fact that the Russians, recognizing that the United States is probably... Russians, typically, by the way, have held most of their... They want to get it out of Russia. They want to get their money out of Russia.
Because somebody might take it from them in Russia.
They have concluded a long time ago that the United States has the most stable economy, as Jake was saying. So they like to denominate their... they like to have denominations, which means that they're sort of Protestants. But they want to have their money... in dollars. Well, they've concluded that with the invasion of Ukraine, with the liberation of Ukraine, that their assets might be frozen.
Right.
and because they're Russians, they know that they don't want frostbite.
No.
Particularly in their assets.
Assets are not a good place to get frostbite.
And so they have been converting them from dollars into... euros. And as a result, when you take a look and you see the euro rising, that's why the euro is rising. And it is the reason I was going to bring this up.
Well, the Bitcoin is another great example of what's going on in Russia. If you look at the price of Bitcoins going into November is also incidentally when the problem started in Ukraine. Right as the problem started coming to a head in Ukraine, this is when the Bitcoin started hitting the news. Before that, Bitcoins were right around $100 to $200 range. That's their normal trading. Ukraine started heating up. Bitcoin's jumped up above 1,000.
Well, it was global warming.
Oh, yeah, it was global warming. That's what it was really was. The Bitcoins were heating the global...
Ukraine was heating up.
Ah, there we go.
Causing,
global warming, yes.
They normally have a really severe winter there.
So it's a very short time period that Bitcoins went, oh, these are new things. Look at the prices going up on these things. Then we had all these hacking scandals and people using the Bitcoins inappropriately. And you'd think, okay, well, that means people will stop using Bitcoins if it's, you can lose everything that you have. No, the lowest it got was about $600. Now, if you go back to the beginning of November, we're talking about $250 a Bitcoin. Now we're talking about $640. And by the way, I think Bitcoins are a horrible place to put your money, so don't get me wrong there. Anyway, the Russians are inflating the price of the Bitcoin because they're afraid to have their money in rubles right now, and the Bitcoin wallet has dropped from its very peak, 40%. The ruble has actually done the same.
Well, the reason that I bring all this stuff up is at the beginning of World War One, in... to a lesser extent, at the beginning of World War II, the belligerents, the ones who wanted to start belligerizing.
Is that legal?
I don't know. But no, it was definitely against international law, but they did it anyway, just like seizing Ukraine, seizing Crimea is against international law. But the belligerents were of the opinion that they were largely self-sufficient.
Self-sufficient belligerents.
Meaning Japan, for example, expanded its, quote, economic sphere by force to become self-sufficient. Germany went into some of the places that Germany went into, and I'm not going to get into the geography of this too deeply here, but were because they had oil fields.
Right.
With the intention of becoming self-sufficient so that they could wage war without the fear of somebody cutting them off economically.
Right. Or not wage war. Just be self-sufficient. We have that same... We want to be energy independent. We have that same concept.
And they did so militarily, which was the... Which
we don't
is,
have
by
that
the way,
concept.
The traditional way, ask the British,
right.
Of or doing such things.
The United States' manifest destiny was done militarily.
Well, we purchased...
And when the purchase didn't work, we just ran the other people off.
Right. There was the little Gadsden purchase. But at least the nice thing about it was when we would take a chunk of Mexico, we would at least pay them something for
That's
it.
That's true. But, you know, the whole Louisiana purchase, we purchased from France a bunch of land that really belonged to Indians.
No. Indians didn't understand land ownership.
Oh, so they didn't own it.
No.
So it's fine. We just, this is ours, go away.
They may have been living on it, but they didn't even get the concept.
You know, the French never came here, but it belongs to them, so it's ours now.
Besides that, I talked to several people from India, and they don't recall anything about owning parts of North America. So
There's a class action lawsuit in there somewhere.
I don't know. The fact that the Indians, an African American, we understand what that means, right? A European American, we understand what that means,
right?
An Indian American.
That means somebody from India, but an American Indian means the opposite. It's all how you put the words.
So you're saying, okay.
Anyway, what we're saying is that Russia is going through the same thing that 19th century Europe and America did.
But here's the point. In the 21st century, having oil fields locally isn't enough to get the job done. There's just too much dependence. Russia is highly dependent on exporting things to the rest of the world. They're in the interesting position where if they received economic sanctions to where they couldn't. Now, first off, the Europeans would have a really cold winter. But if Russia were isolated as Iran has been, for example.
That's how we stop global warming. I just figured it out.
You got it.
Cut off gas from Russia, and all you have is cold winter in Europe.
I think it's fascinating that in the middle of all of this saber-rattling, next week the signing of the contracts is still on schedule to build a pipeline from Russia across the Black Sea to Europe to pump lots of oil and gas into Europe.
Right. It's going from another warm water port that Russia's spending a lot of money to turn into a naval base. But right now, the only warm water naval base
that they have. But it's not really, it freezes over up there.
Well, that one actually doesn't.
In the Baltic?
No, the Black Sea, the east side of the Black Sea.
No, I'm sorry about, well, maybe I got the wrong. It's the northern one across the Baltic Sea.
Right.
Sorry. So it's fascinating that they're continuing forward economically. One of the things that the newspaper articles that I read today pointed out is that in the 21st century, and it's there's a couple of scary things about this. One is we had similar assumptions prior to World War I. Nobody can afford to go to war. But Russia theoretically, and it's interesting, if we put economic sanctions on Russia, their economy won't survive. If their pride and sense of necessity in taking Crimea back is high enough, that's the kind of thing that would generate a war. The attack of Japan on the United States was because Japan concluded we had made an act of war by cutting them off from scrap metal. That's where they got the majority of their steel to build anything that they build out of steel was from scrap metal from the United States. When we embargoed scrap metal from being sold to Japan because of their activities in China, that internally in Japan was what caused the attack on Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, they believed that we were already at war.
And the thing is, in America, we don't understand that an economic act of war and a physical act of war are considered the same thing in much of the rest of the world, considering economic retaliatory measures against Russia. I'm not saying whether we should or shouldn't do it. It's just the parallel in history. I was reading in Barron's and in the Wall Street Journal today that Russians, the Europeans are saying this, the Russians cannot afford war. They cannot afford to keep doing this because they are economically dependent upon the West. And that's exactly the same argument that led us into two world wars.
Right. As long as we say they can't afford to do it, it's in their best interest not to, then it doesn't work. And we're out of time. We'll be back next hour. If you'd like to reach us off the air, 1-800-914-7526.
Or 947-1111. This is the Personal Wealth Coach.
KTM AM. Temple, Belton, Killeen, Fort Hood. Proud to broadcast to the largest military post in the free world. News Radio 1400 KTEM.